I came to Earth with a sacred plan to spread a message to every man. I traveled far from magic lands. I'll sing this song so you'll understand. Shaka pala digi taka paka halapu mala shitty hoodoo endo brava lava deja vu. In alien light language I will tell you what to do. Health, wealth and abundance is just waiting for you. Come and open your third eye tonight. All will be revealed when you have your sight. You'll need some teaching to get it right. Use your MasterCard on my new website. There is no price you shouldn't pay to make your troubles go away. I've payment plans and layaway. You need it now, so act today. Shaka pala digi taka paka halapu mala shitty hoodoo endo brava lava deja vu. I talk in tongues to signal all the magic I can do. Visit my new website so I can teach it just to you. Haven't you been told just how special you can be? By activating membership, you can learn it from me. I spent 2 years in Bali, so you know my soul is free. I speak in tongues, make cool reels, and dress like a hippie. Shaka pala digi taka paka halapu mala shitty hoodoo endo brava lava deja vu. I have a message, the algorithm tailored just for you. If you buy now, you'll be fixed and happy through and through. Shaka pala digi taka paka halapu mala shitty hoodoo endo brava lava deja vu. I talk in tongues to signal all the magic I can do. Visit my new website so I can teach it just to you.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
And when does the swinging happen?
Is well, like, I would think that there's some kind of intro that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You're just knocking. But maybe you knock and say hello. I agree with the vinyl.
Yes.
And so let's get to know each other.
That's what
Go
I'm
have
asking.
A drink.
Like,
Go
okay,
have a drink.
Let's put ourselves in this situation. Let's assume for 1 minute that we are swingers.
Mm-hmm.
You and Jeff and me and Astrid, not us, like, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. We're swingers, right? Not that we're going to swing together.
Right.
Right, settle down, Jeff. I can see Jeff, like, throwing his phone out the window right now. You're never going back there again!
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. I'm just scrolling through the old TCV emulator phone over here with all of our text messages and phone calls. And there's someone who's been texting the show for a very long time. Won't give away the name in case they don't want it shared, but they told me a couple of weeks ago that they were going to be going on a cruise.
Mm.
And so the response was, send pics, right? You know, hey, share the pics. I want to see what's doing over there on that cruise. Well, the only pic that I've gotten so far is a picture of a cruise door with an upside down pineapple.
It's the universal symbol.
We all know
symbol.
That's what it means. It's the universal symbol for ground and pound, baby. Polyamory.
We like to swing.
Oh, yeah. We like to swing. I have been getting served up a lot more swingers content. I think I shared this with you that we talked about the love cruise or whatever they call it. What is that called? Resort?
Right.
Yeah, there's a resort.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
I think it's Pleasure.
Yeah, the Pleasure Clute. Whatever it is. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's a swingers cruise. And now they're doing it twice a year. That it's in such demand that they're doing it twice a year. And they also have a resort down in Jamaica. Like, there's a lot of these. Hedonism. There's a bunch of them. They have Sandals, adults-only resorts. Mm-hmm. where basically the whole premise is go down there, strip naked, get laid. That's it. That's what you do. And I don't know, part of me thinks that might be fun. Like, I don't want to do it now. I'm too old for all that. No one wants to see me. Like Tom Papa says, I'm turning into one big testicle. So no one wants to see me naked. But if I think back on my youthful adventures, I wonder why I didn't put that in the mix. Mainly because I've been in threesomes and they're not for me. Like, you know, can you hold my beer while I go get more beer and then I come back and I'm locked out of the house? It's like one of those things, you know, it's not as fun as you think it is. It's quite challenging, actually, to pleasure more than one person at the same time. But like swingers, you're just switching it up. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what the picture is. Means? Does it mean that's your door, or does that mean that's someone else's door?
I think they probably saw it.
I think
on
so
someone
too.
Someone else's door.
Yeah, but that's ballsy to go on a cruise and just let everybody know you're looking for a door. Not what is the
might
what is
well.
The protocol on a cruise when it comes to swinging? Do you just like knock on somebody's door? Just
yeah. I mean, I think
can
you...
I dig down your wife? It's me. Who? What does it matter?
I saw
you
the
put
symbol.
The pineapple on the door.
Yeah.
Let's not get all involved with details. Let me just come in real quick and come on real quick. You know what I'm saying? Come in and come on. And when does the swinging happen?
Is well, like, I would think that there's some kind of intro that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You're just knocking. But maybe you knock and say hello. I agree. With this pineapple.
Yes.
And so let's get to know each other.
That's what
go
I'm asking.
Drink.
Like,
let's go
okay,
have a drink.
Let's put ourselves in the situation. Let's assume for 1 minute that we are swingers.
Mm-hmm.
You and Jeff and me and Astrid, not us, like, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. We're swingers, right? Not that we're going to swing together.
Right.
All right, settle down, Jeff. I can see Jeff, like, throwing his phone out the window right now. You're never going back there again! You're
it's,
now the executive administrator of Memfo forever.
No, it's,
okay.
We as we've said before, all we have to do is throw out that it's research for the show.
Yes,
you
it's
know?
Research for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume for a minute that we are swingers.
Yeah.
And we go on a cruise, the four of us, and we're like, all right, we're ready to get dicked down. That's what we're doing here, right? It's going to be a whole 5 days of fun in the sun and turning up and turning out and
swinging and swimming.
Yeah, putting our heads down on the pillows. Okay, let's think about that. All right, now, how do we let people know that? How, pray tell, are we going to find other swingers on the cruise? Well, let's put a pineapple upside down on our door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Honey, did you remember the pineapple?
Honey, did you bring the blow-up pineapple? Because
right.
I need to put it upside down.
That's on the packing list.
Yes.
I have a packing list, so I'm adding that to my packing list.
5:30. So, on a cruise ship, you've never been, but on a cruise ship, it's all interiors, no exteriors. There's
mm-hmm.
no windows. Like, I've seen other swingers who do things at, like, motels, hotels, or resorts, there's windows, big windows in the front of the hotel, right? And of the hotel room, so you can just open the curtains.
Right.
Like those old Motel 6s where mm-hmm. you open up the curtains. I saw one at, like, a Holiday Inn in, like, Iowa somewhere. Yeah, imagine that.
I saw one time, too, in San Diego.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was crazy. I was there for this convention. And
there was a swingers convention going
no,
on?
No, I was there for another convention. But at the hotel we were staying at, as my boss and I walked by it, there was some, you know, peekaboo.
Oh, they had the
curtains
open.
Yeah.
You know, there was for the Super Bowl last year, which was in Vegas, right? Yeah, it was in Vegas.
Every other year, it's in Vegas.
That's true because it's hot, and that guy paid $1 billion for
right.
that place. And now they always have it in warm weather. It's like Atlanta, Tampa, Superdome, Vegas. Atlanta, Tampa, Superdome, Vegas. Okay, so it was in Vegas. Was it? Somebody was playing, not Rihanna, but somebody was playing inside one of the, I think it was in Resorts World, like that huge facility, that huge mixed use facility they have mm-hmm. in Vegas that's kind of newish. And there's hotels that overlook the stage and the concert area. Well, one keen-eyed person with a very powerful cell phone saw that, like, on the third floor, the windows were open in the hotel room, the curtains were open, and some girl was getting double downed. Like,
okay,
two guys, one on each end.
Okay.
And they scrolled in, and it was like, it was a really funny reel because everybody started noticing, and then everybody was pointing their phones up there just taking it. Anyway, okay, so, you know, some of these places, like, they have areas where, you know, it's like you go to a swingers conference. I've seen the Instagrams. You have a meet and greet. You have a mm-hmm. dinner together. You go to the beach and, you know,
pick your partner.
But in a cruise, there's no windows where you can look in. There's just a peephole, like most hotel rooms, just a peephole. What is the minutia? You're putting a pineapple on your door. Is that like protocol for the swingers community? You just knock on the door. Hey, I'm here. I'm up for it. Look at me. I'm up right now. I'm hard as a rock. Flagpole's up. Let's go for it. Or, I don't know. Like, I'm just wondering, that seems...
I mean, the way I picture it to go is that they've let it be known.
Yes.
They're into it, and they're looking for partners. So the way I'm picturing it is like, yeah, maybe there's a knock on the door, but it's not so much like, hey, let's go. Let's have sex right now.
Hey, do you want to have dinner with us?
Yes.
Hey, do you want to come on the excursion with us?
Let's have a drink.
Yeah. Hey, do you have any pictures of your wife disrobed?
yeah
or you like wait outside the room until they leave for dinner, maybe, and then you're like, hey,
exactly.
And in the swingers community, is it gauche to be like just a dude? Like, if I'm, you know, let's say that Brian's a swinger and he's on vacation, but Astrid's not, I'm just the swinger in the family, and I'm on vacation with the fam, and I'm doing my midnight Disney walk around the ship when no one else is there. Yeah, my walkabout where security's getting nervous about the guy with multiple cameras around his neck is taking pictures of every piece of architecture in the building. I'm doing my walkabout, and I see the pineapple, and I go, well, you know, kids are asleep. Why not? Knock on the door. See what's doing. That, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that when I went to a swingers party, a sex party, mm-hmm. that it was not okay to come in alone as just a single guy unless you had been pre-approved by the facilitators of the party. In other words, you just couldn't walk in there as a single dude. You had to bring a female, or you had to be on a list of special approved dudes. And what is approved or not? Like, do you have to send pictures? Do you put in a resume? Do you have an application process? I would imagine you would want to keep the creepers out.
Yeah. Maybe some sort of background check. I don't know.
I don't know either. And while I did not, to be absolutely clear, had zero interest in participating in anything, and the smell in there was funky as it could be, I will say this. There was a lot of people watching what was going on in there.
Watching's a thing.
Watching is a thing. Mm-hmm. And most of those people, if we're just being honest, were guys. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming they came in, like, you know, they brought a friend or what, you know, bring a friend. Like, plus one, you go to the swingers party, plus one, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you say, hey, you do what you want to do. I'll be over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Creeping or having sex or whatever it is. This is just all this just fascinates me to no end.
It's
so far removed from anything that I know or would want to know that, you know, I just am interested in all the protocols. So if you know, we almost had a swinger lady. If you remember this, remember Clubhouse?
Yes.
Does anybody remember Clubhouse?
Well, no, how could I forget?
It's still a thing. There is still an app out there,
okay.
Clubhouse. It looks like it has turned absolutely ratchet. Like, I don't know what's going on in that Clubhouse now, but it's like weird. It's all...
God, it was on such a high.
Yeah, I know. It was like the thing that was going to take over the world.
We were hearing valuations and IPO talk and the whole thing.
They were valued at $1 billion at one
point.
So
nuts.
They got like $120 million from the same people who seeded Facebook, you know, Martin McCanny and Maskell or whatever those fucking guys' names are, Simon and Schuster, I don't know, something. They were absolutely on a tear for like 3 months. I have never seen a tech platform, and I'm sure there's been lots of them, but I have never been involved in any tech platform. Well, actually, that's not true. I was once involved in a tech platform that got funded once, and then it just literally died.
Yeah.
Literally. That's a different story for a different day. But that thing took off during the pandemic.
Like a rocket.
Like a rocket. There were, like, I got an early invitation, probably 3 months after it, like, they started inviting other people outside of the Founders.
The old early invitation.
The old early invitation.
Exclusive.
Yes, I got one from Allison Hare. Never forget. She said, you got to do this Clubhouse thing. I said, what is it? She said, it's live podcasting. I said, oh, live podcast. It's like a radio show. You have people, and I had no idea what she was talking about. Just join and see. And then I see, and then I go, oh, that is interesting. And then pretty soon, five times a day, I was on there doing shows. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was crazy. It took over my life for
I know. I tried to keep up, and I couldn't. It was a speeding race car.
Yeah, a complete waste of my – I mean, listen, we met a lot of nice people there. It ended up being, I guess, part of the reason why I got through the pandemic is because I had something to do. But anyway, on one of those – I was in this podcasting group, and one of the ladies who was in the podcasting group with me – there was like a couple hundred of us doing these shows on this podcast channel – or club, excuse me. So fucking stupid.
Yeah,
that's
come on, Brian.
Fucking stupid.
Keep the terms.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In the club with us, in the podcast club with us, started by the founder of Podcast Magazine, because everybody wants to buy a magazine about podcasting.
Right.
That guy is now like selling insurance in an MLM or something. Anyway,
yeah,
she had a podcast about swingers. Her husband and her were
swingers. Hold on. I just had a vision here. Speaking of the podcast magazine and swingers,
yes,
you know what I'm going to say.
Oh.
Because you got propositioned, kind of.
You got proposition, kind of.
I did.
It wasn't me. I mean,
you got like a picture that was sent, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I got some weird shit. Yeah. All right. So while we're talking about swingers, I'll tell this story real fast. Chrissy and I are early pod. I mean, we're early in this journey. Now I look back. Listen, just like anybody who starts off on any new adventure.
We were toddlers.
Mm-hmm. It's like you start off walking through the jungle and you're scared of everything. You have no idea what's going on. Everything looks scary, dangerous, big.
Putting everything in your mouth.
But yeah, putting everything in your mouth. That's right. Sticking your finger in the socket.
Uh-huh.
But pretty certain you get burned a few times and you learn and you grow and all that other stuff. So, but we're early on, and quite frankly, it was very exciting that somebody at Podcast Magazine, who had other like notable podcasters on the cover of that magazine, like big podcasters, Tim Ferriss.
Who was the one that was on for our issue? Was it Dave Ramsey?
I don't think it was Dave Ramsey. I think he was on one of them, but I don't think it was Dave Ramsey. I don't know.
Okay,
I think it was Tim. Maybe it was Tim Ferriss. I don't know. It was
I've got
somebody.
The magazine.
I do too. It's sitting right up there.
Yeah.
So I get a reach out, a reach around from somebody at Podcast Magazine who's doing the comedy vertical. And he says, love the show. Really love to do a spread on the commercial break. And I'm like, what? Really? He says, yeah, I think you guys are great. I'd love to do it. And I said, okie dokie, smoky pokey. And by the way, we got connected because I just started in Clubhouse. I had connected with this guy in Clubhouse. I had been in a few rooms with him. He looked at the show. That's how he found us. So it wasn't that it was like because we had a bunch of accolades or any merit whatsoever. We were like 20 episodes into the show, into the podcast. And so I run to tell Chrissy, we're getting a spread in Podcast Magazine. We got to do an interview. Chrissy's like, oh my God, really? And I'm like, yes. The podcast magazine wants us, little old commercial break.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, okay. We've got some traction here.
Yes, we got some traction. We had no idea. This would be like a fashion model getting an invitation in our minds to be on the cover of Vogue after like 2 days in the modeling industry. What it really was like an insert in a Penny Saver. Where you're wearing skimpy lingerie. That's really what it was. So the guy says, hey, we got to do an interview. Be about an hour long. Can I get both of you guys on a Zoom? I got some questions to ask. That's the basis of the article. Okay, fantastic. So Chrissy and I pick a time. We're going to do it Zoom. The appropriate time comes. I cannot get on Zoom because I got to update. Of course, you have to always update on your Zoom.
Me too.
Every time you have an important Zoom and you're one minute late, you have to update. Because that's how fucking Zoom is. So I'm updating. And when I pop in, Chrissy's like, oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. and I can already see that something is making her uncomfortable, but I'm not really sure what it is. But the guy who's doing the interview is like, yeah, she's going to love you. I mean, she's going to love you. Where are you at? Where is that? Atlanta?
Yeah.
I think we can make it out there.
Well, he was telling me before you got on that he and his wife had looked at my picture and really, really liked what they saw.
They liked what they saw, and they wanted to know if Chrissy would be up for a little, hey, how's your sister? Out there and wherever the fuck he was, some arid plains, like, Arizona or something. And I had no idea about any of this. I had no idea that I didn't even know this guy. I really didn't. I just talked to him a few times on Clubhouse. But he then went on to have an interview that was completely unprofessional.
Yeah.
Where he just mainly talked about Chrissy's boobs and then asked a couple of questions of us. I thought it was odd. And I really was uncomfortable with the whole thing. But we hung in there as long as we could. And then it's over. And I'm like, well, I guess when you hit the big time, this is what it's like, the casting couch. Like, you're going to have to dodge the bullets. I don't know. I've never had any brush with any kind of notoriety, so I don't know. But we get excited about the thing. So Chrissy and I run out back to my house, and we pick up a couple pieces of wood, and we take some pictures.
Astro pictures of us.
We take an old piece of fence.
Yeah. running midair.
We took an old piece of fence, put it between us. It's the dumbest shit ever. And we send them off, hot off the presses. We got to make sure that we get this to Podcast Magazine for the December issue.
Yes.
So the article comes out, and it's by and large a fluff piece where he adds a couple of the answers that we gave and then tells it, you know, up and coming podcast, go check it out, whatever. Of which we see zero increase in downloads. I thought for sure this was it. And we got zero traction out of it.
Yeah, we did.
And it was at that moment, you know, sometimes you just have blind faith that things are going to work out. But it was at that moment that I realized that, in fact, probably no one was looking for a magazine about podcasting.
Yeah.
And if they were, where exactly would they find that magazine?
Well, at the grocery store, which no one was going to because it was the
middle of
the beginning of the pandemic.
And when I learned that it was distributed in over 50 locations, most of which were like really terrible gas stations, and they eventually just given away for free at podcasting conventions, I realized that this was not all it was cracked up to be. I had no idea what Podcast Magazine was. It was brand new, quite frankly. It only had like 6 issues before us, and it only had 6 issues after us. It had 12 issues. It was a terrible idea. Who puts together a magazine about podcasting? Put together a podcast about podcasting. Well, the hunt wasn't over for this guy, because then all of a sudden we start showing up on their hot 10, whatever, hot 50, the podcast hot 50.
Casey
Kasem's. He has a countdown about podcasts. A podcast that's a countdown about podcasts.
Yeah.
And it like plays on some streaming radio station no one can find. You know, it's like, whatever.
I can't stop laughing.
It was terrible.
I hate about all of this.
Yeah. And what he would do is he'd take clips of the top 10 podcasts and he goes, now coming in at number 9, it's Brian and Chrissy with The Commercial Break. Laughs and gaffes are all a mess. Brian and Chrissy get together each Tuesday, because they only do it one day a week.
Once a week.
Yeah. Each Tuesday to make you laugh and giggle. Here's a little clip from the blah, blah, blah. And they do that clip, and it's so fucking terrible, you can't even imagine. We get zero downloads out of it, but this guy wants to get Chrissy in bed, so...
No, I never talked to him again.
You never talked to him again,
no,
I did.
You did.
Yes, and I quickly realized he's not somebody I want to have anything to do with. I'll tell you more about the story. We got to take a quick break, and when I get back, we'll finish up the Podcast Magazine Swingers story, and I have more questions about swingers. For swingers, about swingers. It's a whole swingers episode. See, you sent me a pineapple, and now I got to talk about it for the rest of the day. We'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
All right, so Chrissy and I finished this interview. Magazine comes out. It's glossy. It's slick. It's got 3.5 pages dedicated to The Commercial Break with our dumb pictures in there. I mean, if you can find a copy of Podcast Magazine with The Commercial Break in it, I would grab it because it's probably going to be worth money for all the wrong reasons someday. When we get noted as the – when we get entered into the Podcast Hall of Fame as the worst
the
podcast.
Razzies of podcasting.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on the Podcast Hall of Fame. But anyway, Chrissy never talks to this guy again, but I have to be in this. But the guy who owned Podcast Magazine starts a podcasting club inside of Clubhouse, and I join in early to be one of the hosts of the shows that he's going to put on. His idea is to have a 24-hour Clubhouse channel going on, where all we talk about is podcasts. How to do a podcast, how to help people with podcasts, how to grow a podcast, how to shrink a podcast, how to end a podcast, how to start a podcast. And I end up doing these podcast rooms with Allison Hare, a friend of the show. And I can't tell you how many thousands of questions I took about podcasting. They were all the same question. How do I start a podcast? Or how do I get an audience for my podcast? How many different ways I could answer that question, I have no idea. But I answered it over and over and over again. And I'm glad I helped some people, and I probably hurt some people. I'm really sorry. I don't know. I was there. I had fun in the moment. It was something to do, but you get it. But I had to interact with this guy who had interviewed us because he was in the same podcast club. And he would pop into my rooms, and I would, you know, have to pull him up on stage because he was part of the group. Yeah.
The waving
hand. Hi. Yeah, the waving hand. Hi. Because he would raise his hand. Because part of the rule of the group was if someone else, of one of the other hosts, popped into your room, you had to pull them up on stage. Maybe they didn't have to. Maybe you didn't have to open their mic. You could just keep them on mute. But you had to pull them up on stage. And so every time he came into the room, I had to pull him on stage. Well, I start getting text messages from this guy. And he's like, hey, man, what'd you think about the spread? You're on the hot charts, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, yeah, great. Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I said, you know, it was a very nice spread, and I think Chrissy and I certainly appreciate it. Cool, cool, man. Hey, did you know my wife and I are swingers? And I was like, hey, no, that's a weird text message. I did not. Well, good for you guys. You know, as my response was like, good for you.
Yeah.
Now it's starting to make a little bit of sense. And it's like, hey, great. Hey, listen, I got this new radio channel podcast streaming thing I'm doing, and I need a little bit of help and advice, and I'm thinking about streaming some of your show on there, so it's going to be a brand new blah, blah, whatever the fuck. And he's like, can you get on a Zoom call with me? Sure, I'll get on a Zoom call with you. You know, you need some help if you're thinking about distributing The Commercial Break.
Well, right. It was the bait.
It was the bait of the
Commercial Break. I want to feature you guys again.
It ended up being 45 minutes of him talking about his swinging life, including and up to his wife making appearances on the Zoom, him talking about how great her tits were. I mean, it was really uncomfortable. And I was like, well, okay, thanks very much. Gotta go. I was just trying to be polite. It wasn't anything like...
it wasn't like in your face immediately.
It wasn't sexual assault by any means.
Right. But it was suggestive.
Very suggestive. Very suggestive. Okay. Great, wonderful, fine, dandy. I'm done. Okay. Now I'm done. But the guy still has my phone number. And I can't just turn him off because he's in the same group I am in. And so it's all this blah, blah, blah. And we're in a WhatsApp group of 300 other people where they all bitch about, you know, my room only lasted 45 minutes today. Whatever. It's like 55 children. Allison and I were like, what is the world is going on in this group? Yeah. Who knew? Who knew this was going to be so childish? Some people were cool, like anything. Some people were cool. Some people had big egos. Some people, whatever. So one day I wake up. And this is smack dab in the middle of every lockdown. There's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. And I got a text message from this guy. And I pop it open. And it's a picture of people in a topless people in a hot tub.
The hot tub, yeah.
Yeah. Guess what we're doing tonight? Right. Wish you were here.
With like drinks.
Yes, with drinks and tits. And wish you were here. Wish you were here. What? My wife says hello. I paid $30,000 for those. Check them out. Okay. All right. At that moment, I didn't care that he was in the group.
No.
I had to block him. I just blocked him. Listen, it takes all kinds. And I'm not here to judge anybody's life. And if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Cool. You don't have to send pictures. It was clear from the beginning. If I didn't make it clear, it should have been clear from the beginning that that was not for me. Me and my wife were not going to be sending back and forth pictures or making any road trips out to the Southwest Plains to have doodle ditty time with, you know, this 60-year-old dude and his wife. It's not going to happen. But there's a point where you just got to draw the line.
Yeah.
Like if you're a swinger, you can be a swinger, and I don't feel uncomfortable about you talking about it. Feel free to talk about your swinging. But make sure it's the right conversation at the right time and that it's an invited conversation. And certainly don't send pictures of your wife topless when no one asked for them.
Right.
That's weird. It's weird. I think they were desperate to find partners.
I mean, as that goes into something else, I know I texted you about the other day saying there needs to be a PSA about sending dick pics.
Yes.
Like you have to have
Did you get a dick pic?
No. It was a friend of a friend and it was a thing. Anyways, the dick pic, first of all, just don't send the dick pics. Unless to somebody you're not with.
No.
And without pre-authorization. Either you say, would you like to see a pic of my dick? And they say yes. Then you're good to go.
Yes.
Or if the other person says, can I see a dick pic? Yeah.
That's right.
Then you're good to go.
Those are the...
But not any other way.
I agree with you wholeheartedly while we're talking about swinging and sex and all this other stuff. I know it's, at least for a while there, all the rage was dick pics, right? Everyone was getting dick pics. Everyone was sending dick pics, dick pics, dick pic, dick pic. But Chrissy's right about something. And this isn't an old man. This is not Brian old man talking. This is just like general life etiquette, right? And it goes both ways, by the way.
It does.
Just dicks. And I'll share a story here in just a second. But you invite that conversation or you're going to know when the right moment to send the dick pic is. If you guys are having text sex, or as my mom likes to say, sex Mexican. If you guys are having sex Mexican, then it's completely appropriate if pictures are being exchanged or words are being exchanged. You'll know when the right time to send that dick pic is. Uninvited dick pics, you know, and then asking for a response is completely it's uncool. Not to mention, you're sending your fucking dick out there to the world to someone who didn't ask for it. They have all the right in the world to go send that picture to other people. And I'm sure some of you are impressive. I'm not. I would not dare do that. No way. But maybe some of you are, and maybe that's okay with you. Cool. Even if you've got an impressive package.
Yeah, don't assume.
Don't assume, right? Wait for someone to ask for it or ask for it. But don't do that like on the third conversation, you know? You guys haven't even been out for coffee yet, and you're like, oh, is he picking my dick? No, no one wants to see a pic of your dick.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Dicks aren't the most pretty things in the world, right? God made women beautiful, and God just stuck a stick on the front of us that turns ugly and weird. Just don't do it. Just don't do it, okay? It's not the right time. It's not the right place.
Yeah, not without pre-authorization. I'm calling it pre-authorization.
That's right. One time, I was at a party. I was at a birthday party, and a girl that you and I know together, her and I were sometimes not on and off again, but sometimes we were like friends with benefits sometimes. And, you know, we spent a lot of time together as friends and then a little bit of time together, you know, fooling around. It was just one of those, it was a situationship, I guess it would be what it was called. Well, but we had never been like the kind of like sex, we'd send like, you know, nudes or anything like that. Like if we were drunk and if we wanted to fool around, we fooled around. Most of the time, we were just friendly with each other and went out to places. But one night, I was at a party and I'll never forget. I'm at a party, phone dings, ding, ding, ding. And I'm around a bunch of people. And I open it up because we had never, ever before, ever sent any kind of offensive text messages. I thought this was going to be like, hey, where are you at? Hey, you want to meet up later? Hey, what you doing tomorrow night? And I open it up, And it's some of the most graphic photographs you have ever seen in your entire life of her, like the inside of her. And I was like, whoa. And I'm sure everybody around me saw, some people around me saw this. Like, it was clear what it was. And I was like, where did that come from? No mess, like, no preface, no prologue, nothing. Just that, just those three or four photographs. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's weird. And I didn't text back for a while because I thought, I can't even open the phone. Yeah. Like, I got to be careful. I don't know who's around. Yeah, I was nervous. So I didn't open the phone for a while. And then like an hour later, when I was leaving the party, I opened the phone. I had silenced the phone. I opened the phone and it was like 20 text messages. I'm sorry. Is everything okay? Did I do something wrong?
God,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, I feel free. No, everything's fine. It's okay. But I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to put a dick pic in there.
No, there was no pre-authorization.
No pre-authorization. Mm-hmm. No conversation. Literally a cold text message of your Willy Hoo Hoo. Now,
Literally,
sorry, that's my phone dropping three times an episode.
Show.
Yes. I got a situationship with my chair.
You
here.
Need like a whole
I know. Door. I'm getting a new phone and I'm going to get a different case. Anyway, this is.
That's a different phone.
What's that?
That's the thing.
This is a different phone?
That's the studio phone.
Oh, the Usually studio phone fell?
Your other phone is.
Oh, my other phone fell too. They both fell. I put him on next to me on the chair, and then they slide off because these chairs are just like, you know, soft, and they just boom, and then they sound like a bomb went off in the microphone because it goes right up through the microphone cage. So my point is, don't send unrequited nude photographs to anyone for any reason, unless it's one of those guys who text you and they're like, hey, like I got a text message the other day. Hey, did you finish the art piece yet? I'm really excited to see it. It was from someone I didn't
spam.
Know. Yes. And I sent them a picture of an elephant penis. And I go, I think it's coming along. And then they're like, I'm sorry. I thought this was Abby. Do I have the wrong phone number? And I go, no, this is Abby. And this is my art. I turn it around on them. None of them play along anymore. There's probably thousands of smart asses out there who are doing the same thing, but I love it. My brother-in-law, Gustavo, he's like so afraid to respond to them. He thinks he's going to get trapped in some weird Bitcoin scam. And I'm like, they just text random phone numbers hoping they figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so back to the swingers. So, I'm just wondering like what this lady... The lady from Clubhouse was gonna be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had talked to her. I was in a room with her, like a Clubhouse room one time. I helped host a room with her and she was talking about her swingers podcast in a way that was very informative. And she was telling people about the laying the rules down
like
and the basics.
Show that we just reviewed with the Canadian, you know, Dr. Ruth. What was her name?
Oh yeah, yeah. Sue Johansson.
Yeah.
Sue Johansson. Yeah, but she wasn't being clinical about it. She was saying, you know, these are how swingers groups work, and this is how you identify a swinger, and this is how we approach a swinger, and this is what we ask, and these are the rules, and these are the things we do.
Good to know.
It was all good to know, and maybe I should reach back out to her because it was really fascinating, and now I'm just getting more I'm getting more and more fascinated by the idea of swinging. I have no interest in doing it myself. I just like to know what's going on out there in the world.
What the communities, other communities are about. Well, I would say that the... upside down pineapple on the door is a pre-authorization.
I agree with you. That's a pre-authorization to knock on the door, say hello if you're a swinger, and say, hey, listen, you know, I don't know if we're going to get along, but would you like to go have dinner?
Yeah.
And we'll see what goes on. Can I buy you a few drinks? Want to go down to the casino and play a few hands? Let's figure this all out.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think it's very brave of someone to just put an upside down pineapple on the door, not knowing if anybody else...
Might as well go for what you want.
Yeah. And listen, there's also the very real possibility that on this particular cruise, there's like a coordinated swingers group that's out there, and they all put the pineapples upside down on the door, and that is pre-authorization
to say,
I know what you're up to. But honestly, like everybody knows about the upside down pineapple now. Got to do something else. I do like an upside down turkey or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe somebody could have been curious. They had never done it, but when they see the upside down, universally, that's known now.
Oh, of course it is.
So, yeah, maybe they were hoping to reel in some fresh meat, if you will.
There is a famous neighborhood here north of Atlanta, very large neighborhood. And apparently the swinger community up there is well known, very large, and it's a golf community. So they have a golf course up there. But right outside of the golf course, there's a Publix. And now someone that I know lives there. They're not swingers, but they live there. And because they go to the pool and they do the things and the neighborhood events and all that, it's like not even a secret. It's a, everybody talks about it and people are, you know, they will put the upside, they have like an upside down pineapple thing that they put in their backyard on the golf course. Uh-huh. They put it on their front door and the Publix outside of the neighborhood. Apparently there are people on a Saturday afternoon or whatever, they'll go to the Publix, they'll get a shopping cart and put the pineapple on the top.
Uh-huh.
And if you put the pineapple on the top, the little thing that holds the baby,
yeah.
put that there, that's it. You're good to go. You can approach.
Okay.
Yeah. Approach a clearance for landing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just it. And cool. I'd like to be in a club with a secret code. I mean, I don't want anybody to have sex with my wife, but I want to be in a secret code club.
Well, it's
you know?
Not really a secret.
Well, it's not really a secret, but I want to have something cool like that.
Symbol club.
Yeah. Like, you know, we have sayings here, like best to you and stuff like that, but not for everybody. Cheesecake Factory of podcast.
Maybe that's our symbol, the cheesecake. Slice
Maybe.
Of cheesecake.
Slice of cheesecake upside down like a triangle.
Yeah.
And if you have that on your shirt or sticker on your door or whatever, then you know you're a commercial break listener.
Yes.
And it's okay to approach. You're okay to have conversations about the dumbest podcast out there. How's that? I like that idea.
Uh-huh.
I do like that idea. All right, we'll take a break. And then I want to ask you about, you said you have a question for me that Jeff proposed. That was a good question. Last night? Maybe you don't remember. Chrissy was drinking. She doesn't remember.
I did have some wine.
I'll poke your brain in just a second. We'll be back.
Why don't you text us? And we can text back. And then you can text us in reply. Then so on. It's a fun little game I've been playing. And I think you'll be great at it. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You could leave a message, too. If you do, maybe you'll end up being the voice of the show. But be warned, the pay is not great. You could go to the website and drop us an email also, tcbpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can get a free sticker. Who doesn't want a free sticker? Just go to the Contact Us button and ask for one. Follow us on Insta at The Commercial Break and watch the episodes at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Now I'm going to go back to that texting game. You want to play? Come on. Bye.
Yeah, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. Chrissy and I were just talking about the Diddy trial, which is the never endless updates on the Diddy trial, because some of that testimony is literally insane.
Yeah.
That Kid Cudi got his car blown up, mm-hmm. and apparently that was directed by Diddy and his security staff or whoever Diddy was associating with. And I saw the pictures from the trial the other day, the pictures of the inside of Diddy's house, where after they raided the house, lots of drugs, lots of pills, lots of powders, lots of pot. And the lube, as they had explained, there was a lot of lube. There was a couple hundred bottles of lube. Lots of lingerie. To me, seemed like pretty milquetoast sex stuff, like a couple of vibrators, a couple of like pieces of like cheapy lingerie that you would buy at a head shop or a sex shop or whatever. You know, cheapy stuff comes in a box, one size fits all type stuff. And some stripper heels, things like that. That all seemed pretty milk toast sex stuff, like stuff you anybody might be into, mm-hmm. no matter what. But the description of some of this is just insane. Like they had the male prostitute up there.
Oh,
he was saying he got paid between $500 and $5,000 every time to show up, have sex with, quite frankly, a very beautiful woman,
mm-hmm.
while Diddy orchestrated the whole thing, watched, and then got his rocks off. You know, it's 21 EPMs over in the corner. So essentially a lot of cuckolding going on, in which, okay, whatever, that's your jazz. But the nature in which he went about orchestrating all of that sounds very abusive.
The violence,
mm-hmm.
and just the mental control.
Abuse. Yeah.
Yeah, mental control, the drugs. All of it. Yeah. It's
Cassie
awful.
Says when they met, she didn't even really know what a blowjob was.
Yeah.
She was like, had no idea what that was. And then he like directed her, mm-hmm. instructed her. Sounds like Diddy found someone very young and molded
vulnerable.
Her to his will. Yeah. Vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
He signed her to like a 50 album deal or something?
Yeah,
50
that's right.
album deal. A 50 album deal? That is insanity. I take a little bit of comfort, and this can never wipe away any of the trauma that is probably in this girl's head, if any of this is true. And it looks like a lot of it might be.
Yeah.
You know, she got $25 million or whatever it is. So at the very least, even though her life is ruined and none of those albums did anything, except for maybe the first one that had a hit single or two, and then she was really relegated to being his sex slave. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. You know, she probably won't have to work another day in her life, so she can maybe try and pick up the pieces.
Yeah, well, she's pregnant, too.
Yeah, that's true.
She looks like she's got a very loving and supportive husband.
Yeah, she's, like, really pregnant. Is she, like, 9 months pregnant or something?
Yeah.
Diddy turned out to be such a douche.
God.
Who hot, who not, indeed, Diddy. Well, I guess we figured it out. Yeah, all those rumors about Diddy over all those years, they just might be true. Maybe he did have something to do with Biggie Smalls' death, like a lot of people have assumed for a very long time that he did. I don't think this trial is going to get to the bottom of it. But, you know, somebody, if Diddy is kneecapped in the sense that he no longer has the power and prestige that he always has, I think then a lot more will be discussed about him, just like with a lot of. I'm watching the Brett Favre documentary
now.
Yeah, on Netflix. And, you know, we just give a lot of credit to these guys when they haven't earned it. And then we assume they put them on a pedestal and we assume that everything's okay. And we don't want to hear about the bad.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's human. And when you know, absolute power absolutely corrupts. That's just the way that it is. We're seeing that play out in every facet of our lives right now, from our preachers to our influencers, our sports stars, and our government. It's just the way that it is. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So anyway, happy days. Happy
back
days are
swinging.
Here again. Back to swinging. I like to talk about swinging. That's what I like to talk about. I wanted to talk about the Polly family.
Oh, yes. And I haven't watched the latest one, but we can still talk about it.
Well, listen, you know, I
get the gist.
Yeah, it's really not hard to figure out. And they show a lot of, like, minutia about the family that's not quite, frankly, all that interesting. It's just like any other family, only there's two dads
the
and two moms.
The kids
crying and changing. And both moms
arguments.
Are trying to breastfeed the one child. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, I admire that. Okay, cool. If you're trying to breastfeed, both of them are trying to breastfeed the child to connect with it, cool. But one's mom's milk won't come in. Whatever. Anyway, you get it. I will say this, is that take away the fact that it's just two moms and two dads. It's a relatively boring show about two guys who don't like each other.
Yeah.
And one dude who gets laid much more than the other dude. I mean, that's just really what it is.
Right.
Every episode, it seems like they have to make note that one dude is a good lover and one dude is not. Yeah. All the girls get very excited over one guy. And then the other guy, they're like, it's his night. It's kind of funny. If you get a chance to watch Polly, if you can stomach it, watch Polly. I mean, and in the sense that there are long periods of very boring, punctuated by a few interesting things. I don't think this thing gets a second season because, quite frankly, it's not that interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
It really isn't. Well, I've gotten over the shock of two dads and two moms. It wasn't that shocking in the first place, and we watched that video. I'll tell you what is shocking, and we'll talk about this a little bit because we haven't talked about TV in a while. I did get a chance to pick The Pit back up. Have you seen all of The Pit?
Oh, yeah, we watched it all.
I got one and a half more episodes to go. What a fucking show they put together.
I know. I didn't want to watch another medical drama.
I have no interest in medical dramas.
But this was fast-paced, very good, very interesting, very timely about things going on in the world and society. So, yeah. As long as they don't all start, like, having romances and going down that road.
I think they're probably going to have a good sense for what's working here. And that is the very technical, very fast-paced nature. For those of you who haven't seen The Pit, it's on Max. It's brilliantly done. It's done from some of the same people who did ER. Yeah, I think it was ER.
Noah Wiley.
Noah Wiley is in it. And he wrote it and helped put it together with another executive producer of ER. As a matter of fact, they're being sued by the people who created ER, saying they stole the material. Yeah, but ER is the medical drama on a major... or was a medical drama on a major network television station, ABC, I think. And it ended up being a soap opera at the end of the day. There was a lot of technicality to ER also, and I think that's what made it interesting at first, but it ended up being just a big soap opera. This is far from that. This is not a soap opera. This is 15-hour a shift of emergency room doctors in a teaching hospital in Pittsburgh, and what happens if and what happens when. All the death, all the emergencies, the way in which they teach the interns how to do medicine. It's very fascinating and so well acted because it's not overacted. It's just done really nicely, right? And I say that nicely. I mean, it's just like it's so at times muted that it's easy to see that this could be an emergency room anywhere in America.
My favorite's the head nurse.
The head nurse is great.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's got a great attitude. I think Noah Wyle in this is brilliant.
Well, he is, yes.
And I never have paid attention to Noah Wyle, but I think he's very brilliant in this. And I just got ended one of the episodes last night with a scene where he gets very emotional. And I got emotional with him. I was like, it's easy to see how if you're an emergency room doctor anywhere in the world, but especially here in the United States, how crazy it must be to do your job on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have to worry about the emergencies that are literally happening in front of you, life or death, you're playing God, and you don't always get it right, and you can't always get it right, mm-hmm. and you're going to lose, you know, some of the people that you're trying to work on in the moment they most need you to do your job 100% correctly. Sometimes you just can't do that because none of us can do that. We're human. We're fallible, right? But then also to deal with all of the other bullshit that comes along with medicine in America in 2025. Very difficult to do. You have to navigate, you know, budget cuts and insurance and, mm-hmm. you know, Medicaid and Medicare and all this other stuff. And I think they do a good job of highlighting some of this stuff without making it overly politicized or one way or the other. They do a really good job. And The Pitt has been picked up for season 2 and season 3, I believe.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so please get the fuck to it, because I want to see more episodes of The Pitt. That's the one thing that the streamers sometimes that bothers me is that it can be a long period of time before you get the next one. But hopefully Max, being a television station first, will understand is that you shouldn't go, you know, years before the next season comes
out.
We'll see. You have to satiate Brian's palate for medical dramas. Now, I'm into medical. I'm a medical drama guy. Never thought I'd say that. But here I am, medical drama kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? And you know what else I'm seeing? I'm seeing a lot of is that Sex Sent Me to the ER.
I was just about to bring that up. Speaking of sexualness and ERs.
Sex brought me to the ER. Yeah, Sex Sent Me to the ER.
And I've heard doctors, too, that have, like, reached out to other, you know, podcasts and things saying, like, the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, what not to do. Like, you should definitely not put a light bulb
in your ass.
Butt.
No.
Yeah.
That seems like pretty common human brain, human stuff.
But
you never know. It's 2025 and you never know. And people are into weird shit, right? But this show, Sex Sent Me to the ER, and I only see like little bits and pieces of it because it's on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, I was going to say, what is the regular schedule?
I don't know. I have no idea. I really don't. But I know that it's on in the afternoon, so I don't watch it because I don't want my children right. watching. As a matter of fact, I walked in one day, it was on, and one of my daughters was sitting there playing, and there's like this graphic description of something, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? And then I was like, oh, that's interesting. Let me turn it on in the other room where she's not. It's very interesting, but it's all real. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the doctors, so it's a reenactment of something that actually happened. And a lot of times the doctors who saw the patient are actually in the program.
Oh,
like
they are?
They're the actors. Yeah. So it's really, you know, interesting. And it made me think, this is The Pitt, just real stories. That's it. That's all it is. It's just a real story. So very fascinating stuff. I think The Pitt, if it doesn't win awards, I don't know what wins awards, but it should win awards because it's very good. And I'm almost sad to watch the last episode mm-hmm. because what do I do then? Where do I go then?
Have you watched The Studio?
I have not watched The Studio, but I've heard a lot of people talk about
it. It's good. It's interesting.
I've read a lot about it.
It's interesting. And based on true things.
True things
Hollywood.
That happened.
Mm-hmm.
I did read Bryan Cranston was talking about
he's
a studio head.
Uh-huh.
And he was supposed to give a speech in Vegas. and he ended up taking ecstasy or something or getting high on cocaine or whatever it was. And then he has to play this like, kind of fucked up, or was it LSD or shrooms? I can't remember.
It was shrooms.
Shrooms. Okay. And then he has to play that.
Yeah, we've got one more left, and then I think that's it.
That's it 10. For the season?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So get caught up on it. There's 30 minutes, too, so it's easy.
Okay, text in, what are you watching? 212-4333-TCB. I'm so fascinated to hear what other people are watching.
Yeah.
Like, we're missing stuff. I know we are because there's thousands of television shows. Thousands and thousands, and I can't possibly make it to all of them.
No.
But I am looking for here's one I'm repeating, Tacoma FD, which is the stupidest comedy show you've ever seen about a fire department in Tacoma, Washington.
Uh-huh.
And it was on True TV, I think, for a minute. Now Netflix has picked it up. It's got 4 or 5 seasons. It's a terrible comedy show, but it's funny because it doesn't try and be anything. But a terrible comedy show. Yeah. It's from those same guys who did Super Troopers.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the Squirrely Chameleon group or whatever, the improv comedy group. It is so dumb and I love it. I hope they make thousands of more episodes of Tacoma FD. Because when I go to sleep at night, I don't want to watch anything particularly brain strained.
Right. I get what you're saying.
I do that in the shower or here in the studio.
You need to finish Gemstones.
I do need to finish it.
God, it's so funny.
I know.
I'm getting it's at the top of my list to go back and rewatch.
If I don't see Walter Goggins in every third reel on Instagram right now, he is having his moment.
He really
this is
his
moment.
Between White Lotus and Gemstones. Yeah.
I hope that Walter, my old buddy Walter Goggins, I hope that he is enjoying his moment in the sun.
Didn't I think
he
is.
Didn't he just the host Saturday Night Live too?
Did he?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. And I read a review about it. It said he wasn't really used all that well. But it's this guy who does these reviews. He's really hard on Saturday. He never gives Saturday Night Live more than a B-, like ever. I'm not even going to name the magazine. But it's like, obviously, he's just pining for the old days.
Yeah.
Everybody's always pining for the old days on Saturday Night Live. That's the way that it goes.
Yeah, it has to, like, evolve.
It has to evolve. It has to move on. And I get it. You know, we kind of got spoiled with Sandler and Spade and Chris Farley and Will Ferrell and, you know, Tina Fey and all those. There were some great characters, but some of these, but we have Bo and Yang.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bo and Yang.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody. We've got Bo and we've got Colin Jost and, oh my God, Michael Che.
Yeah,
sorry.
Michael Che.
I was about to say Che Guevara. He's not Che Guevara. He didn't overthrow the Cuban government. Michael Che, who I made a comment about on a post that Saturday Night Live did, and I said that they probably are the best Weekend Update hosts ever.
They're really good.
They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I thought, these guys are good. Then I thought, these guys are great. And now I think they might be the best ever. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I put that comment up there and it got a lot of response. People were like, absolutely. Like, yes, that's correct. And because I think it is. Name another Weekend Update person that was as good as those two have been. And there have very rarely been two of them at the same time. I can't think of one. Dennis Miller? Yeah, he was interesting. But is he the best? No, he's not.
Well, Chevy Chase started it, right?
What's that?
Was he the first Chevy Chase?
I think Chevy Chase was. But Chevy Chase didn't last very long on Saturday Night
No.
Live. So, and while we're speaking about TV, one more note. And some of you have already written in about this. And thank you. But there's no thanks needed. R.I.P. George Wendt.
Yes.
Norm from Cheers.
Norm.
I put a little, I guess a little tribute to Norm at the beginning of one of the episodes this week. George Wendt died at 73 years old, I think he was. George was Norm on Cheers. Cheers is one of the best television shows that has ever been. I was very young when it came out. I was very young when it was around.
It ran for so long.
It ran for like 9 years.
Yeah. And I mean, what iconic characters and topics and things that are still relevant today. I could go back and rewatch that show. I mean, not every one of them because there's so many.
Yeah.
But if it was playing on TV, I'd watch the episode.
We went to a bar in Greenville. We went to a restaurant, but it had a bar. And the bar had a couple of TVs. And on that TV was playing back-to-back-to-back Cheers episodes. And they had the volume up so people could hear it, right? Wonderful restaurant, by the way. The food was delicious. Just a little out-of-the-way Italian restaurant. And so I made mention to one of the people that was working there. I said, oh, that's interesting. You have Cheers. You know, and there was like a bunch of young people. It was like brunch time on a Sunday. A bunch of young people sitting at the bar, and they were all staring at the Cheers. And they go, they, everybody loves it here. We all watch it all over and over again.
Yeah,
we can't get enough
of it.
Yeah,
it's one of those shows.
Yeah, and they said, you wouldn't believe it. It's a college town. All of these kids, just they all come in. They watch Cheers. They love it. It is one of those shows that you have never seen if you're too young to know what Cheers is, or you're too young to have that in your I guess, ether. You need to put that in your ether because it is so funny and so well done and so classic. It's just one of those shows you need to watch at least one time in your life. It's like Seinfeld. It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's like Seven Little Johnstons. You have to put all of those shows in your ether. But George, Norm, the character Norm, is a big part of that show. His one-liners and his kind of philosophy on life and that gadfly, barfly kind of personality that he had, always a beer in his hand, always jolly, always quick with a joke, is a character that resonates with everybody because I think we've met that person in our life. And he usually, a lot of times he would open the show. Like the show kind of started with Norm walking in the door and everybody yelling Norm.
Yeah.
He'd throw out a one-liner. And that's how a lot of these episodes started. He was a big part of my childhood because not only did I get this, like, was I alive and aware during the end of its run, but then it ran on reruns forever and ever and ever. It was always on somewhere. And my parents loved it, so we watched it, and I loved it. And Norm, he had a place in my heart. So George went, RIP, buddy. Thanks for all the laughs. And the funny thing is that George wasn't in a whole bunch of stuff beforehand, and he was almost not in anything afterwards. Mm-hmm. He did a couple of, like, reality shows and, like, documentary-style shows. Yeah, like, I think he was in that How Beer Built the World or How Alcohol Built the World or whatever it was.
Yeah, show.
I think he was, like, a commentator in that show. I think he did a couple of other things. I think he did, like, some local stuff up in Chicago. He was certainly on Saturday Night Live a few times doing his Bears guy, you know, Da Bears. But he really largely just did Cheers. And hey, listen, you could probably live on Cheers money, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would think so.
But yeah, that character Norm has a place in my heart.
I know, me too.
I think it was formative in my comedy, the way that he would just throw out those one-liners. So I'm still not nearly as funny as anybody on Cheers. But go watch it. Do yourself a favor. I'm really sad. I wish there was a Cheers of 2025. I wish we had a show like, I wish anybody gave a show a chance to go 9 or 10 years. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But not today.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
We're all too busy trying to find another partner to cuckold. We're all too busy swinging, putting upside down pineapples.
Yeah, I'm getting on cruises.
All right. Hey, listen, nothing wrong with that.
No, more power to you.
I'd love to hear if you're a swinger. What are the rules of the road?
I would like to hear some tips and tidbits and tricks. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to figure out how I get involved in all of this. If I'd make a decision to go into it, I don't want to do it like we did with podcasting and end up on Podcast Magazine. I want to avoid the Podcast Magazine of swinging.
Yes,
please. So let us know. Give us some information. 212-433-3TCB. I bet you dollars to donuts there's a couple swingers in our group.
Oh, yeah,
in our listenership. Okay. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, or if you want to be a part of TCB's Endless Day, send us a text message so we can get you on the schedule, figure it out, get you lined up to talk to us. Hopefully we'll be able to fit everybody in. There's quite a few people who have already called texted us, actually. So
really?
Yeah, but we might need the help. You never know. It just might be 7 hours of us talking to other people on the telephone. Or it might be 7 hours of other people doing the show and you and I taking a nap.
Yeah. Well,
but probably not.
Come with me.
Yeah, because TCB's Endless Day is sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. And you can go to 5hourenergy.com to get special flavors, hot sauces, all kind of stuff that they make. Check out 5hourenergy.com when you get a chance. TCBpodcast.com, that's where you find out about Chrissy and I, all the comings and goings of the show, all the audio, all the video. It's right there, TCBpodcast.com, and your free TCB sticker available on the Contact Us button. Hit the drop-down menu. It says, I want my free sticker. Give us your physical address. We will send you one. Don't worry about it. We'll cover the cost. What is it? $6.25 for a stamp now?
Cheap.
Okay. I don't even think we have a post office anymore, actually.
I know. I don't think so
either. I don't think we have mail service. If we do, it's not going to last for long.
I'm surprised every day it shows up, honestly.
I'm surprised we're still functioning as a society. Add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/The Commercial Break for all of the episodes on video. The same day usually they air here on the audio. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.